Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. David made reference to this passage this morning in the Sunday school hour. If you miss Sunday school lessons, just come for church. You miss a very good time of worship and meditation and instruction. Good time to be here. He puts a lot of effort into preparing those studies. I urge you to come and hear. It's profitable. I want to talk to you this morning, if it don't offend you. And if it does offend you, I'll talk to you anyway about God's amazing grace. I'm getting older. Like the Apostle Peter, I'm thinking about the time when I put off this old tabernacle and reached the end of my faith, that is the salvation of my soul, go out to meet the Lord. And I have a lot of thoughts about times past, where I grew up and how I grew up, my dear parents, and I didn't have anything to do with that. It's just God's amazing mercy and grace that I was born where I was, when I was, all these things. David said, I have a salvation. It's a covenant salvation ordered in all things. And it is absolutely certain. That's the kind of salvation I have. It's a salvation ordered of the Lord. From the greatest to the lowest, the meanest, the smallest detail. Ordered of the Lord. From the first time I had a thought of death and judgment, ordered of the Lord. I want to talk to you about God's amazing grace. Let me read you a few verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is so important. According to the Scriptures. I don't know anyone that has any interest in religion at all that wouldn't say that Christ died for our sins. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is how he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Lived and died and rose again according to the Scriptures. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, this present. But some have died, fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You know, I just happen to think these famous radio preachers. I never have heard one of them talk like that. Not fit to be a preacher, not fit to be named with God's preachers. Paul said, not fit to be a saint. Chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, had a big change here from what he was to what he is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It never is and never will be. The word which he sends forth will not return unto him void ever. Ever. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet it wasn't really me, but it was the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you have believed. And it's all by the grace of God. My subject today, as I announced, is God's amazing grace. Infinite, divine, amazing, incomprehensible grace that's given us in Christ Jesus. That means divine favor. Divine favor. When I was a young man, I didn't realize it until I'd gone over a few days on my insurance payment, and I went by the office and asked them, I told them, I hope y'all didn't cancel this. Oh, no, you have 30 days grace. And that's the way most people think about grace. It's just something you don't deserve, you know. It's a day of grace. But grace is much more than that. Grace is effectual. Divine favor bestowed upon sinners. Not just offered, bestowed. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Never just offered it to us. He could have offered it to us and from the time we were born till we died, it wouldn't have done any good. It has to be bestowed upon us. It has to be given us effectually. And that's exactly what grace does. Divine favor, undeserved favor. It cannot be earned. It cannot be merited. It cannot be deserved in any way. You cannot do anything to cause God to move in your behalf. You don't have anything to offer. You're dead, as David said this morning, dead in trespasses and in sins. That's the key to the great controversy in our day. We preach here that the Bible, what the Bible said we're dead, without strength. We don't have anything to offer to God. We're in debt up to our ears, and we have nothing to pay. Dead. And most of religion talks about being crippled a little bit. But we're dead. Plumb, smack, dab, dead. Spiritually. We're alive physically. Alive to the things of the world. Alive to the riches and glamours of the world. But dead to God. Dead to God. Spiritual things. And nothing can be done by us to qualify us to receive God's grace. God's grace is undeserved. It is absolutely free. He gives it to whom He pleases. It is absolutely always effectual. It never returns unto Him void. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. That's the way we speak of it, because that's the only kind there is. God's grace is sovereign grace. It's effectual grace. And I might add, it's eternal grace, purposed and given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Always effectual. We have nothing to offer, nothing to do. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Nothing. God's enemy. A stench in the nostrils of God by nature. That's what we are. Nothing to cause God to move in our direction. but everything in us to cause him to be repulsed by us. We're odious and despicable by nature in the sight of God. I think David mentioned that this morning too in Isaiah chapter 1. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Brothers and sisters, there's an old hymn that people sing around the world. Even the people that don't have much concern for religion at all, they sing it. Where I went to college, they didn't understand it, but they sung it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know what they used to call that? The Baptist theme song. That's the Baptist theme song. What? It's written by a man who was a member of the Church of England. And they wouldn't let him, they wouldn't even spit where he'd been. It was a landmark. It wouldn't have nothing to do with him. I asked him, I said, this man, John Newton, if he were here today, would you let him preach? No. If Spurgeon were here today, had an hour show down there one time, film, presentation from Texas, publication of Spurgeon's sermons. And they tell all about them, you know, and sell them to the students. On the way downstairs, I asked one of the professors, I said, if Spurgeon were here today, would you let him preach? Oh, absolutely not. Yet promoting his books. They called him a rebel against God. Stealing from the church. He didn't have authority to preach. We'll find out one day. That old hymn, Amazing Grace, is one of the best known hymns ever written by John Newton. And it is almost universally sung throughout the United States and the world by those who meddle in religion. But I make the declaration, the assertion today, it is presently, almost, universally misunderstood. It doesn't say anything about an offer. It talks about grace that saved a wretch like me. Grace that saves. Grace is much more than an offer. But while men today and women, the churches and preachers sing the words of this God-honoring hymn, most of them still call God's grace a free offer. That's all it is, free offer. The gospel call, the gospel message, in itself is not just an offer. It comes from a mandate from heaven. Believe or perish. Believe or die. Bow or perish. It's preached, Paul said in Romans, the last chapter, unto all nations for the obedience of faith. And the Bible talks about the judgment falling upon those in 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Judgment one day falling upon those who obey not the gospel. It's preached for our obedience. It's not just given for your vote. Come with a mandate from God. Bow down and believe it or die in your sins. Mandate from God. Much more than an offer. If God's grace, now listen to this carefully, I wrote it down. If God's grace was no more than an offer of salvation, then never a soul would ever be saved. Never. Men won't choose that which they don't understand and can't receive and don't love, don't see the beauty of it. We see the beauty and attraction of earthly things all around us, material things, but we don't have that capacity, that nature to receive and see and understand and desire the beauty of the things of the Lord. We don't have it. We must have a new nature. We must have a new nature. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I would suspect that most people today, if it's sweet to them at all, it's sweet because they found, they suppose, a fire escape from hell. But it says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Save me. Save me. I once was lost, but it found me. The shepherd came after that lost sheep, found him, picked him up, put him on his shoulders, carried him back into the fold. I once was blind. Somebody gave me sight. Now I see. That's what God's grace does. You know, if what I teach and preach about human nature, fallen nature, were not true, the first time you ever heard the gospel, you'd say, oh, my soul, that's what I love. But you don't do that. You can't see the beauty and the glory and the preciousness of it. God must do something to you first. Give you eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to perceive. And that's what He does to His people. By His almighty, effectual grace, free grace, sovereign grace. That's what He does. Listen here. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Can you identify with that? You know what it is to fear the Lord because of sin? Thoughts of death and judgment, hell. If you do, grace taught you. Taught you. They shall all be taught of the Lord. All of His children. And it was grace, my fears relieved. I remember that part well, too. I was overseas, all alone, in my room, reading the scriptures. And a scripture came to my mind that I'd heard preached when I was a little boy. And it was in 1 Peter chapter 2. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And God gave me a little light to see. And I had some peace for the first time in years. Peace with God. Grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. I sat down with pencil and paper and wrote home to the pastor, my father and mother and the pastor. They sent a missionary over there from Japan to baptize me in the East China Sea. All grace. You know how many people lived in the barracks where I was? No, I don't either, but it's a whole bunch. And I was the only one I know of that wrote back and asked for baptism. Grace, sovereign, discriminating, effectual grace of God. God did it. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I say today, I've already come. already come. And I'll tell you, it was grace that's brought me safe thus far. And grace will take me home, lead me home. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun. Eternity with God. Eternity with God. God's grace. Now, I wrote this down too. You write it in your heart if you can. God's grace saves sinners fully, completely, entirely, forever. Always does. When the angel came and announced to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to marry this woman, identify with this woman, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And he said, "She's going to bring forth a child. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Do you hear the angel singing on the night of his birth to the shepherds? "Behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." Not a would-be Savior, not a hope-to-be Savior, a Savior, a real Savior, able to save to the uttermost, determined to save his people from their sin, a Savior. The Apostle Paul here, in the context of what we read, he is saying, speak plain English, he's saying, God made me, grace made me to be what I am. Grace took me from where I was and brought me to where I am. Grace did it. It's all free grace. I didn't deserve anything. I couldn't do anything. God did it. God's grace made the Apostle Paul to be what he is. He came from a religious, self-righteous, pompous, Christ-hating Pharisee to an obedient, loyal, faithful, devoted servant of the same Christ. He said, "The love of Christ is what constrains me in all that I do." He said, "For me to live, Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die, oh, what gain. Oh, what gain." Grace did that. Not a preacher, not a church. Grace, God's grace. Amazing grace. He said, I'm not only ready to suffer and to be imprisoned as the Holy Spirit teaches that these things lie ahead of me, but he said, these things don't move me. Neither can I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's all that matters to me. That's all that matters. Preaching that gospel of the grace of God. Look at 2 Timothy just a moment. And verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works." We didn't have any except bad works. "But according to his own purpose, his purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before He ever made the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before He ever made this world. That's when grace was given us. All spiritual blessings. God's grace is not waiting upon what the sinner does. Rather, the grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God brings and applies salvation to the soul of man. Ephesians chapter 2, all by the eternal purpose of God, His purpose of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Boy, if you have faith this morning, I mean saving faith, God, on purpose, gave it to you as an individual through the preaching of His Word. Not a work, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we walk in them, and we will, all according to God's purpose of grace, all according to God's plan. Look at Acts 18. Let me read you two or three places anyway. Acts chapter 18. Verse 27. And when Paul was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. When he was come, helped them much which had, what does that say, believed through grace. That's the only way we could ever believe, by the grace of God. The gift of God's grace. God's effectual grace. That's the only way we can believe. Only way. Let me show you another place. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29. David said this salvation, this covenant salvation is ordered in all things and sure. Unto you it is given, it is ordered in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. Ordered in all things and sure. Your faith, your repentance, your sufferings, your perseverance, grace of God, ordered in all things and sure. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul said, I'm confident of this one thing. If I don't know anything else, I know this, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He lays His almighty hand on you in saving grace. He'll never take it off till you're perfectly conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. I'm convinced of that. I'm persuaded of that. Be confident of this one thing. And then in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we find something like this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12, 13. You can't work out what God hadn't worked in. We are dependent upon God and His amazing, free, wonderful, sovereign, amazing grace. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He comes to them. It's so dead. Don't care about the beauty and the glory and the preciousness of God. He opens her eyes, makes them willing to bow down, turn to Christ, give themselves to Him. They do it willingly because of His power and grace. His power and grace. Look at Titus just a moment. Little book of Titus, and I'm done. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. It brings salvation. Hath appeared to all men, teaching us. It brings salvation. And in bringing that salvation, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. Grace of God teaches that when it brings salvation to us. That's part of the glorious package of salvation. That's part of it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord, great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things just keep on preaching till Christ comes. They keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Then in the third chapter he says, you continue to preach these things, who man is, where God found him, what he was by nature, and what God made him to be, not according to his works, but according to God's own purpose of grace, His own mercy. And they that have believed in God, they'll be careful to maintain good works. That's what it says, chapter 3, verse 8. Now, I want to show you one other place. If you turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is where we live today. You can be a member of a Baptist church or most any church and be just completely ungodly. Ungodly. You don't care what God says. You don't care about doing what God says. You love everything else more than God. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us that that's not right. It won't let you do that. But listen to here. This know also, verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days, and boy, we're there, perilous times, troublesome, terrible times shall come. For men, you know what makes this bad? These are all religious folks. These all talk about Christ, how much they love Him, how much He loves them. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, never satisfied, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, stay away from them. And that's our world today. Baptist churches, Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Catholics. That's our churches today. And they all wear the name of Jesus. And probably most of them have a cross around their neck. From such, turn away. They're ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. God's amazing grace, oh, how sweet the sound. That old man was a slave trader. He got so bad off with his drunkenness that he sold himself into slavery to a black woman in Africa and was there for a number of years. And finally, one day, he was able to escape and swim out to a ship, catch his way back to England. From there, to one of the most well-known and respected preachers in the Church of England. I've been to his church, stood in his pulpit, been to his house. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Boy, I was plumb lost. But now I'm found. I was so blind. But now I see. I was so dead. Now I have life. Eternal life. May God bless these words to each of our hearts. May we marvel at His amazing, amazing, amazing grace.